Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Cosmic Circus review. The long-awaited end of the year, 2025, is coming. John, what are we doing today?
We are talking about our best favorite movies that we enjoyed for the entire year. It is, look, let's be clear up front. This is our list. This is all subjective. We have not watched everything. I have access to screeners. And I have not seen everything. It's very difficult to watch every movie of the year. So if there's something on here that we have not watched or that we didn't mention, it might be because we haven't watched it. So
I want to mention on that point really quick. I want to mention there's seven movies that I still really want to see that I have not seen. Let me mention them really quick. Emilia Perez, I'm going on Monday. So I haven't seen it yet. I'm going on Monday to see that. Then Challengers, Civil War, The New Nosferatu, Brutalist, Queer, Rebel Ridge. Those are seven movies that I'm really looking forward to and that I just haven't seen. I just haven't had time, or they're not out yet here, or whatever. John, what are some movies that you want to disclaim that you haven't seen yet?
Oh my goodness, man, it is quite a list. I haven't seen the Superman Christopher Reeve
You
documentary.
have to. Yeah, you
I
have to.
know, I there's always something like that,
Right,
guys.
right. Yeah, yeah,
There's
yeah, yeah.
always something like that. There's just not enough time.
Okay.
The list
But
goes
that's
on.
Superman's probably at the top of your list, right?
There's another documentary called Daughters that I hear is great that I have not watched. That got nominated by my group and some other groups. It's fairly secret. It played at Sundance. I didn't get a chance to finish Queer. I hear Queer is very good.
I've heard that too. Yeah.
There's another movie called Touch. What
Oh,
Focus
I've
Features
heard of that.
Tonight that I hear is very good. I mean, guys, you can go on and on. But the movies that we have seen that we haven't seen,
Yeah.
I probably watched over 60 movies this year, and it's just you can't get to everything.
I just want to check. I'm at 52. I'm at 52, and there's still so many that I'm missing.
There's still so many,
Yeah.
yeah. There's
Yeah.
still so many. So if there's something out here, don't take it personal. Your movie that you love is not any less because we did not mention it. It's just
No.
very difficult to get to everything, and we may not just enjoy it as much as you. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's all subjective.
But these films that I did mention, Emilia Perez, Challenger, Civil War, Nosferatu, Brutalist, Queer, Rebel Ridge, I'm really interested in those because I think if I did see them, I think it might change my list. That's why I mentioned those.
Yeah.
Now, John, what are some honorable mentions you want to get to? So someone that did not make your top 10, but you still think are like worthy of mention.
Oh my gosh, man. My honorable mentions goes on. It's like five. I got The Wild Robot. The Wild Robot is a honorable mention. I know you didn't like it as much as me, but I
But
deeply
I did
love.
like it, just not as much as you. Yeah.
Yeah, but I genuinely enjoy The Wild Robot. There's
I
a
do too.
horror. There's a horror movie called Mad, which is crazy. It's a one like, and it is made like a one take film where it just doesn't stop, and it gets creative and inventive, and it's like a new take on zombie that
Okay,
I've
cool.
never seen before, where it's not just like a zombie, it's like people going nuts, like they're just like nutty, almost kind of like
Okay.
Harley Quinnish nutty, you know?
Okay.
So
That sounds
Mads,
fun.
Challengers. Challengers is on my honorable mention.
I would really like to see
It,
that one.
Emilia Perez is
Okay.
also in my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
I just watched it recently. I then can attest.
I remember. I remember your reactions. Yeah.
I watched it 3 nights ago, and I was like, "Why am I talking about this?"
But I can tell you also, I have a couple friends who've been to festivals and stuff, and people are talking about it. Most people positive, some people negative, but it's people are talking about it. The
Yeah.
people who've seen it, like it's not a film you watch and don't talk about. You watch this and you're gonna have reactions. So I'm excited to see it in just a few days.
I don't think it's the strongest film of the year, but I appreciated how different it was. Like, the way that I described it, in my point of view, is that it's like Sicario and Benicio del Toro decided, and Benicio transitioned halfway through the movie. Like, it's not like it is interesting because of it. It's an interesting narrative because of it. And you have a very good actress that takes on that role and embodies both sides of the persona. It is very clever, and honestly, she might get best. She might get the award. I'm not gonna lie, she probably will. But those are my honorable mentions. What about you?
Sure. I have five ready. Again, these five reflect like my taste, my personality, my interest. They're not necessarily like my 11 through 15, like objective critical best of the year, but these are just movies that I enjoyed. Movies that I enjoyed, but I don't think they're like as perfect as they could have been. So I want to mention Heretic, which I really like. I like the premise of, and I like the first half a lot, especially when they're dissecting the religion and the connections between religions and things like that. I think it loses its way in the second half when they're trying to like escape from the place. I think it gets kind of weird and wacky, but I really like the beginning and the tension and the philosophy and the exploration of religions and exploring it from the girl's point of view. I thought it was a really good discussion movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
Some people will probably throw this away, but I want to say the new Speak No Evil, I really enjoyed it. I still haven't seen the original, but this one, I thought it was a really enjoyable experience, a nice like action thriller kind of, not so much horror. And I really like James McAvoy's performance. I really enjoyed the movie, even if it's not what you expected from the Danish one.
I think that all my problems with the Danish one were fixed by the new one. Like
That's my impression.
there are things that happen in the Danish one that I feel so frustrated. Like as like you parent, like if I were a parent, I feel like I would do more than they do. And it's just like in this film, the parents act like real people. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna fight. I'm going to fight. They don't really fight much in the old one. And
Have you seen the new one?
yes, I've seen
Okay,
both.
good. Just
Seen
checking.
both, and then in the new one they fight back.
I really like, I haven't seen the first one, but from what I understand, I really like how both reflect the cultures that they were made in. The new one is definitely an American movie, and it feels that way, for better or worse, I think. And I like that they're the reflections, yeah?
I do have one more honorable mention that I forgot
Sure,
about.
go ahead.
Nosferatu. It's in my honorable mentions. Like, I mean, dude, that's the kind of year it's been. It is like, even if it's not the best top tier, like award-winning season like we've had, there were a lot of good movies. And Nosferatu is like, it's amazing. It is a master class in cinematography, acting, the visuals, the horror. I know you haven't seen it yet, but it is a strong exercise in tension. And
Was there
I
anything
can't
you
wait for
didn't like? Anything you didn't like about it?
It's not that there's anything I didn't like. It is just everything that I have here, I enjoyed more, if that makes sense. Like
I understand.
it's not to say that this movie is less.
Yeah,
It's
because
just
with Eggers, he's a specific taste, and there's things I like about it, but there's also a few things that sometimes with his movies, it doesn't click 100% with me. But there's so much to appreciate objectively, even if I don't always, you know what I mean?
I think you won't have any issues with this. I
Okay, I'm excited. I'm really excited for the movie.
genuinely don't think you will. Like, you might have an issue with the design. I think that's going to be the biggest hiccup for some people.
Okay,
But
probably.
like that's about it. I think that's where it ends.
Okay, coming back to my honorable mentions, I said Heretic, I said Speak No Evil. I want to say the new Superman, the Christopher Reeve story. I thought it was such a powerful, emotional movie, and it's such a good exploration of a character that means so much to us, and an actor that behind the character. And a really nice touch from the movie is that they interview his children, and it's not just like little interviews. Like his children are basically the storytellers of the movie, and they're talking about his legacy. And if I remember, the kids are from different mothers, and you understand Christopher Reeve and from a very different way. And what's interesting about the movie too, that John, you might appreciate this maybe, it's not linear, that they start with Christopher Reeve as a normal guy, and then they go, and then the accident happens. And no, it's intercutting between time, so that you understand Christopher Reeve the person, just with a disability or not. It doesn't change who Christopher Reeve is, but you're understanding him from a holistic point of view. Does that make sense?
Yes, and honestly, that non-linear documentary approach might be brought up later on in this conversation.
I'm sure. Yeah.
That's just a tease. That's just a tease of where my list is going.
I know. I know. So I really recommend it, especially even if you're not a Superman fan. I think it's really effective. But if you are, especially, I think it's good. And Robin Williams has a huge part in it. That really surprised me.
I've heard they're good friends. I heard they were very good friends.
Yeah, like
Which
it's a
is,
significant part of the movie.
yeah.
My next honorable mention was Smile 2. We did a whole video about how much we love Smile 2.
That's another one. That's another one. Yes, I agree. Fully agree.
Uh,
Great.
I
Great movie.
absolutely loved it, and I was shocked by it. And I'm still wondering, maybe I should move it higher, but I just wanted to mention it. Also,
No.
there was this movie, Mars Express, which is a French animated sci-fi movie, and it was really cool. I don't think I just loved it as much as I wanted to. But I'm really glad that I watched it, and I think it's just a cool movie to check out. Pretty sure it's on Netflix or something. Nice.
I got one more, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, you can go on. You can go on.
Are you done with your list?
Yeah, it's fine. Go on.
There's one animated film that I watched this week that I think it's worth as an honorable mention. It's a foreign film, but nobody talks. Nobody talks to the entire thing. It's all animals. It's called Flow. Called Flow. And it's
Okay.
about you go on a journey with a cat. And like, man, this is a hard movie to describe, but it's almost spiritual. It's almost like meditative. It's almost like just so in what enthralling. And honestly, this might have one of the best musical scores of the year. And it's a foreign animated film. Like, I
I'm looking at
was completely surprised by it, but it is another one that's worth bringing up for.
This looks really cool. I don't, it looks a little familiar, but I can't remember. I don't know if I ever saw it, and if I saw the poster in theaters or not, but the animation style, it
Oh,
looks familiar.
and Memoir of a Snail. Memoir of a Snail is also very good. That's another
Oh,
one.
I've heard that's good, but I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, a little depressing, but it's also very good. Anyway, but that's all I got. I'm
Yeah,
gonna
sure.
end it right there.
You ready to get into the good stuff? Top 10?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to talk about what about you?
Okay. What was your number 10?
Okay. My number 10 is, while there is a movie out here that people are talking about a trans person, Emilia Perez, I think this is a far superior conversation about the trans experience, called I Saw the TV Glow. It is, I can't remember the director's name, but she they directed in one of my favorite horror films from a few years ago called We're All Going to the World's Fair. And they have a way of telling horror in a way that is so complex, deep, dark, very David Lynchian. It's very long, got a very it has a very David Lynchian vibe, even with the We're All Going to the World's Fair. The movie itself, I saw the TV Glow, is about two people, two teenagers that become friends through things. Kind of like when you and I were growing up, we would get friends because we liked a certain thing.
Right.
You connected over pop culture. For some people, it might be like a music band. Maybe you connected over
Like Linkin Park for you, right?
like Linkin Park or
Yeah.
NSYNC or like whatever it was that you were into, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. For this, it kind of like has like a vibe of they connected over a show, kind of like Are You Afraid of the Dark? You know what I'm talking about? Are You Afraid of the Dark? And the way that it goes about talking about this is that the TV show they connected on helps them identify with their own experience, even as kids. Like there's little metaphors in these shows, even when we were growing up, that helped us cope with things that we didn't fully understand. And what the movie is about is how, outside of certain pop culture things that help us cope with that, is the way that society has a way of making us push it back down and suppressing it and making us fight against what we are, And I think the end of this movie is one of the most emotionally cathartic, powerful things that I've seen in a horror film or outside of a horror film. I don't even know if I could call it a horror film. It's labeled a horror film, but it's supposed to communicate the horrors of that experience of not being able to be true to who you are and how that thing can suppress this world, this life, the expectations, how it makes us push it all back down. And I think it's one of the best films I've seen this year. I don't think it gets talked about enough, even in the awards conversation. I think I nominated it for best screenplay because I genuinely think it's one of the best screenplays out there. So that's my number 10. I was on the TV Glow.
I've heard really interesting things about the movie, really good things. I haven't seen it yet. I know some people have been a bit divisive on it, but I think that's the nature of a movie like this.
It is. I can tell you that most of the people that it's made for, like who is speaking on, I've not heard anything positive about them. I think I have heard, even in the theater that I was in, there were people crying in my theater.
And that's in Texas.
And that is in Texas, man, in Dallas, Texas. Yeah, so I think if there's anything that can be said about it is that my understanding is that the people that it is made for it hit the mark. It definitely hit the mark on what it's trying to get across.
Great. Yeah.
So.
So that's definitely one to catch. My number 10 is not nearly that sentimental and meaningful. I have Alien Romulus because I just loved
That's
that
fine.
movie. Yeah, I just
Yeah.
loved that movie. I like we said, I saw it in IMAX twice. Like literally, I think I saw it like a Thursday, then I went again on like Sunday. And it's not the best Alien movie, but I think it's the first Alien movie I've seen in theaters, and I thought it just looked great and it was well made and it was like really well put together. It's not perfect, but I think it's just a really great, enjoyable experience. And I don't know. It's like when I watched Force Awakens in theaters, and it's not the best Star Wars movie, but it's just it's something that you never saw, and you get to see it, you know?
It's a beautiful shot, film. It's
Yeah.
beautifully shot. I think you and I talked about the fact that almost the entire film is full screen IMAX. Like it's just
Yeah.
completely takes up the entire screen.
Yeah.
And
And when the I
one
was
of the
saying
most
when the
bonkers endings ever. I'm sorry.
The ending, always the ending too. But I just when they're going around like the asteroid belt with all the rocks and just floating in space, and when it's I think the spaceship's crashing into the asteroid belt, I was like, just like, whoa, great.
I think
Like,
it's got one of my favorite action scenes probably of the year, where they're killing all these aliens and the gravity field like goes away, and then
Yeah.
they're floating in the air and trying not to get hurt. I
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
creative, yeah.
I really loved going through all the Alien movies with you because I just love the franchise so much. And great. They're great movies. They're great movies. What do you have at nine?
So then this is where my list gets a little more fun. You know, kind of like you with the Alien Romulus. My number nine is the most fun I've probably had in theaters all year. Abigail.
What is this? I haven't heard of it.
It is amazing, Ben. It's amazing. It is a movie called Abigail about a group of misfit robbers
Vampire
who
horror
get.
comedy? Is that it?
That's
No.
it. It
That's
is
it?
called. That
What?
is it. It is amazing. It is amazing, Dan. It's amazing. It's amazing.
How have I not even heard of this? What a catch. Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton? What?
It's
Giancarlo
great. It's great.
this?
So we did a horror podcast with Brian, and even Brian goes, "Oh my gosh, I forgot about Abigail." It's
Wow.
so entertaining and fun.
Matthew Good? Oh my
Matthew
God.
Good, dude, yeah.
I have to
So,
watch this.
and you got to watch
Like I,
this.
tonight.
It is great. So
Wow.
Abigail is about these band of robbers who get called in for a job. And the job is they have to watch over a girl that's been kidnapped. They have to watch over a night. Like while they try, like, and the assignment is that in order to get the money, they can't let her out of her sight and all that stuff. Well, about again, it's in the previews. I don't think they should have told anybody. I thought it would have been better if you said nothing. So
It's at the top of Wikipedia. Sorry.
if you don't want to know, then just go watch it in blind. Look
Yeah.
up Abigail and just click play and don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So skip this if you want. But 10 minutes into it, they find out this girl's a vampire. Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
and
I mean,
not just the.
the poster's not subtle, so.
No, it's not. It's not subtle.
Yeah.
But even knowing that, bro, it's a blast.
My God, this sounds great.
It's
An
a blast.
adaptation of Dracula's Daughter, 1936. Fantastic.
There's
Fantastic.
nothing funnier than watching a grown man scream like a child as he runs from a tiny little girl. It's so
I'm
funny,
so
it's so
excited to watch this.
entertaining.
I'm so excited. Wow.
It's wacky, it's violent, it's goofy, it's made by the people who made Ready or Not.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Which if you've seen that, it's over the top violent, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
It's
And this is
great,
just
yeah.
this isn't it's not even 2 hours, so it's a quick movie.
It's a quick watch and it's fun. Abigail from my number nine. I love this film. Yeah, I
Love
love it.
this.
I love it. I love it.
My God, wow, okay, I have to watch that. All right,
Yeah.
my number nine. I just saw this like a few days ago. It finally came out here. We Live in Time. I really loved it. And I'm really like sad that not a lot of people talked about this because I think it came out in October in the US. And I didn't even know it came out because no, I didn't see anybody talking about this. Have you seen it?
Okay, well, to give a little context,
Okay.
my father passed in April from cancer.
Got it. Got it. Okay, I understand.
So I got the screener. I got the screener and I started
I
it.
understand. I understand. Yeah.
In the first 5 minutes, it said they're having a conversation, and the first thing I hear is, we could have 6 months of the best of our life, or we can have 2 years of me suffering. And I was like, I get it. And
Yeah,
I turned it
I
off, and
understand.
I was like, I'm sure this is a great film. I just can't do it right now. And
I no, it's totally understandable, John. Yeah. What I liked though, there's so many things I loved about this movie. I love well done romances, and this is a fantastic romance. Yeah, there's cancer, and that's in the trailer, that's in the beginning of the movie. It's not a I would not say it's a cancer movie. Cancer's part of the movie, but it's really about just this beautiful romance and their life together. And then it the movie continues, but it's really it's not like it's not like, a cancer porn or something like
I'm
that. You know what I
sure
mean?
it is, but like
Yeah.
it scared me right away, and I was like,
Oh,
wow.
I totally understand, bro. I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
so I was like, I'll do this later, and I never got
Later,
back
for
to
sure.
it.
Yeah. But for me, like a lot of romances, a lot of rom-coms are like bad, especially like in this era of like Netflix crap. And so when we get like a rom-com, a romantic, a genuinely sweet romantic movie with Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh and the most adorable little child actor you've ever seen. Oh my God, it's just it was made for me. It's perfect. I love this movie. I really, really love this movie. And it does something interesting where like it jumps around in time, so nothing's really a spoiler. And in some ways the jumping is neat because they use it for dramatic like to set things up or for dramatic twists sometimes. But I think it's just a different, a nice inversion of what's usual. But if you like kind of sentimental romances, like genuinely sweet, good romances, I strongly recommend We Live in Time, especially with the cast, Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield kissing, perfect.
The two of the most beautiful people in the world too, you know.
Yeah.
So,
All right. What do you have at 8?
my number eight is also another fun title, and it was unexpected to me. I sat down and I was like, man, I'm just gonna watch like a chill movie. This is like, oh, it's gonna be chill. Like, it's not chill, but like, I just want something to entertain me. That movie is Rebel Ridge,
That's why I
and
put
it
it on
is.
the list I haven't seen, because I thought it would be high. Yeah.
Then this movie is an absolute banger. It is from beginning to end an absolute ride. It begs the question, what if Rambo, but non-lethal?
Oh, great.
Non-lethal.
Great. I heard
Non-lethal.
fantastic things about this movie. Yeah.
So it's about a guy who comes into town to get his brother bailed out of prison, and he is automatically getting harassed by cops.
Yeah,
Getting
yeah, yeah,
harassed
yeah.
by cops immediately. Not in a political sense, but like just like in a sense of this town is corrupt and this guy is in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he gets there and they push him and they push him and they push him. And this guy gives them plenty of chances to not figure out who he really is until they do. And this lone straggler who comes into town, bail his brother out, and starts utilizing his special set of skills. But those special set of skills was different. It's not like Liam Neeson, it's not like Stallone, it's not like Keanu Reeves. His skill is to make everything become non-lethal. Like he will inflict violence, but he's doing it in such a way to disarm the situation.
Great. Wow.
It is an interesting idea,
Yeah.
taking a fighter that just goes in to deactivate the bomb, like
Yeah.
just to deactivate, like to disarm your opponent and then move on to the next opponent and disarm that person to make everything as non-lethal as possible until there's no threat. And
That's cool.
there's a quote in the film where after he does what he does, he like goes to try to get his brother bailed out. And this is towards the beginning, and the girl that's trying to help him goes, "What did you do? Did you hurt somebody?" And he goes, "I barely broke the skin." And he backs up. It's just one of the most awesome lines of dialogue. "I barely broke the skin."
Yeah. Aaron Pierre, right?
Aaron Pierre,
Now,
amazing talent.
I have two things I want to mention. One, what's really interesting about that movie is I've had all kinds of people recommend it to me and tell me that it's great from every side of the political spectrum. There's something about it that everyone is approving and gravitating and enjoying this movie. So I think that's great. A second thing, There's speculation, I don't know if this is confirmed or not, that John Boyega was supposed to be in the role originally.
No, he was. That's
He
also not
was, yeah.
going to be
Okay, okay,
correct.
okay. And this is another one I really want to see. I just haven't had a chance to get to it.
Even Don Johnson is amazing as the bad guy in it, man.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he was in Watchmen, right? And he was in Knives Out. And both of those he's playing kind of right wing characters, but right wing characters that you understand. And he plays them with a lot of humanity, even with the views. Yeah.
He does a great job in his communicating exactly what it needs to communicate.
My number eight, I'm pretty sure you have this higher. The Remarkable Life of Ibolin. I really love this movie, and I feel bad putting it at eight, to be honest. I think this middle group,
It's fine, it's fine.
I would say this middle group is all like in a tier. Like I don't think it's really fair to say up or down or whatever, but we did a whole episode on Life of Ibolin. You can go check that out. I loved it. You know I loved it. I know you loved
Mine
it.
are rolling in no particular order in Southern Rolling. That's not a big deal.
Okay. Like I had almost no expectations going in. I had a general sense of your thoughts and what it was about, but it blew me away. And I've been recommending it left and right to everyone I can. I don't think anyone has watched it because it's a hard recommendation. Because you don't want to spoil the movie, or if you do spoil the movie, nobody wants a sad time. But boy, when you sit down and you watch it, you have a friend like John who makes you watch it. Wow, is it worth it? It's so good. It's so good.
But that's the thing, and that's the thing. I don't think it, like, I mean, it does break your heart,
Yeah.
but I never found it sad. I found it a
No,
little
but
uplifting.
when you're recommending it to someone, how do you recommend it to
Yeah,
someone? But man, it's great. Yeah.
I found it very uplifting because that dude accomplished
So
so
much.
many possibilities just like from the like not like he couldn't do anything,
Yeah.
and I find that powerful. I just like So if I were going to talk about it right now with you, the YouTuber, is don't think of it as sad. Just think about like if you do watch it, just understand like, whatever day you're kind of having, if you feel lonely, there's a way to connect with people. There is, you can. It might take a little bit of effort, but man, like if that guy can do it with two fingers, my God, there's nothing that we can't do.
Right. It's really a testament, especially to the technology that we have today and its potential to connect people. Not its potential for warfare or its potential for like Bitcoin or whatever Elon Musk is doing, but it's our potential just to connect as humans and to help somebody on the other side of the world, right?
Right, yeah.
It's just such an amazing movie. And I really like also that they don't just show him as this like perfect figure. They also show him when he gets upset, when he's a little unfair to his friends, when he's kind of a jerk sometimes. Like they try to show the humanity of this guy. You know what I mean? You remember that?
Oh, yeah,
Yeah. It
absolutely.
paints such a great picture, just like a human and the lives that one human can touch. And just the scene at the end, with the funeral at the end, and just all the people coming together, and just the fact that it's not, those aren't actors, but those are real people. That's real footage. And wow, it just hit me. It's what a movie. What a movie.
And I'm so glad we talked about it. I think that's
Really.
honestly one of the most successful YouTube videos that you and I put out together this year. I
And
mean, it's it's.
the fact that we were this close to doing Venom 3.
Was a bad choice. It would have been a bad choice. Would have been a bad choice. It probably would have got like no views at all. Like no views at all. Did anybody really even watch Venom 3? Like,
I
golly.
did, because I thought we were going to review it.
I watched it too. That's not my
Venom
point.
3 is number 52 of 52 on my list.
I've seen Venom. I've seen Venom 3. I've seen it.
Yeah.
So I go on from my number seven.
Seven.
Moving on from Venom 3, we're going to
Venom 3 is
Ron
not my
Harper.
number 8. I just anyway, go
Ron
on, seven.
Harper. Ron Harper.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one. Yeah.
Rowan Harper, I think, is one of the most beautiful documentaries that I watched this year. I was just taken back by the whole film when I watched the Fantastic Fest. And even the person that came with me was like, man, that's gonna be one of the most important things I've ever watched. Like it just
Well.
because it shows the power of conversation.
Right.
Just to have that
Because the
conversation.
whole movie is in a car just talking, right?
But it's not that it's they're in the car. They're doing random things. They're not just
Oh,
doing that.
okay.
They're going to dinner. At one point, Will Ferrell disguises himself because he didn't want to be seen as Will Ferrell and his trans friend.
Of course, yeah.
He was like, I want to go and just be normal with you for a while. And it's kind of funny because the disguise is not even that good. Just like Will Ferrell with a mustache.
Will Ferrell. It's Will Ferrell. Yeah. Now, what I'm just checking right now. This didn't receive a wide theatrical release, did it?
I just went to Netflix.
What a shame. Yeah.
But it's being nominated by a lot of people. It was nominated in our group. It was nominated in many other groups. So it's getting recognition.
That's a shame, though, because I love to go to the movies to watch. I love to go to the cinema to watch movies. And I see so much stuff in theaters that I generally don't even check streaming. I didn't know it was.
Evelyn did not either, and Evelyn should have got like a wide release. But it's because, same thing happened last year. But, okay, so there was another movie, Sundance, showed last year. That was in my favorite from last year. And I think it's one of the most powerful thrillers of the last couple of years. And
what
it
was
just,
it?
Fair play. Dude, it should have gone theatrical. It is one of the best movies of the last couple of years.
Really?
I watched that at Sundance, and I was on pins and freaking needles with how intense I found it. It is a relationship thriller. And Netflix has a way of buying these movies, like whether it's a documentary like Evelyn or like Bon Harper or like Fair Play, and they just throw it on the wall on their little streaming service.
Yeah,
it gets no attention, no conversation, no talking, and everybody moves on and nothing happens.
I think Apple's like that too. I think Apple's a little bit worse. They get like huge, huge, huge stars, and I've never even like I didn't even know this half that stuff is out. Like, I don't know what they're doing on Apple.
But
they
have
really high-quality stuff. But,
But at least they promoted that one movie with, like, Robert De Niro, Leo, that
on
almost
Apple?
Four-hour film.
Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Killers of the Flower Moon. They promoted the hell out of that, but a lot of other things they don't. But anyway, we could be stuck in this cycle all day. What is your number six?
Hold on, my seven. Again, my middle group, but they're not really in any order, I guess. My seven was The Substance. And I think with
the
time,
substance. I forget about The Substance.
How could you forget? With time, I think this movie, like it for me, it may be falling a little bit in my mind. But I just remember my initial reaction. This is another one where I saw it, then I immediately went again. Like in 2 days, I went again to see it again just because I needed to process what I had just seen. And just like with Alien Romulus, when I saw Substance twice the opening weekend, it's so interesting seeing how crowds are different. Like if you go that opening night, first showing, and if you go like on a Monday, how different the crowds are, the way they laugh at different times, they scream at different times, they react differently. But this is a really fun movie to watch with a crowd. It's like so shocking, so well made. It's a little bit wacky and weird, but it's great. You know, and I love that we're getting creative, weird movies like this. And it has two really good performances, three really good performances with Dennis Quaid. So it's a great movie.
I think one's great, man. It's probably going to get Best Picture. It's probably going
to No way. You think so?
I think it's gonna get like in the top. What there's eight categories, right? Like seven or eight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've seen among other critics,
uh-huh.
in their list. Like,
no way.
I've seen The Substance repeatedly, and I think it's gonna be the first horror film that actually gets like a nomination since
What a
Get
silly
Out.
Movie!
Since
wow.
Get Out.
What a silly movie.
And I am super excited about it. And I'm so angry that I forgot about this like on my list. So,
where would you put it? If you could add it to your list, what number would you put it at?
Oh, my gosh, man. I would put it somewhere right here right now. But
and somewhere in the middle, right? Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle. But, I got something else there. But,
yeah.
But, oh, well.
But we'll call it like your 7.5 or something. Your 6.5.
Yeah, we'll call it 7.5 or something. It's great. It's great, guys.
All right. What do you have at six?
Substance. What?
Yeah, yeah. What do you have at six?
Seed of a Sacred Fig, my man.
I haven't seen this either. You have all these movies I've never seen.
Not a lot of people have. I literally just finished this movie this morning.
I've heard the name. I've heard the name, but I just haven't.
It is a foreign film. I needed to do a little more research before I got on here, but what I can tell you is that it involves a family thriller involving a parent being a part of the government, like a shadow government, and the results of being a part of that, and how it slowly decays everything around their family. And it starts out like, when it first starts, I was getting a little concerned, because like, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
The Quarrel with the Pork Dome. It could be boring. It could be
Yeah.
like very overly just sad and drag.
Yeah.
And it was 2 hours and 47 minutes, and I was like, oh no. And but then I started it, and then 30 minutes in, about 30 minutes in, the plot kicks in, and I couldn't stop watching. I could not stop watching.
Great, great.
It does it kind of makes you think about the things that are going on right now in the States. Because, well, I don't know about you, but I don't know what's gonna happen over the next 4 years, and
Less
I'm
than
like,
a month. Less than a month, dude.
less than a month, and it's like you can see how the slippery slope can begin when people, your families, start making compromises for their governments. You know, where they think, well, you're not disrespecting the head of the, you're not honoring the head of the household. And not only are you not honoring the head of the household, maybe your government's telling you the truth. Maybe they're not just imprisoning that girl because she was protesting. Maybe she actually did something wrong. Maybe she was wrong. How do you know she was wrong? Why? Because she said that. It's things like that where you can kind of see it slowly become, how it can become that so easy, even for us. How just these talking points, these conditioning talking points get bad, embedded into your brain, like, and to the point that it becomes a toxic thing within even your own life, your livelihood, your family, your jobs. And it's one of the most throwers that I've seen all year. What,
It sounds great.
US?
It sounds good.
Very intense, man. I mean, like, and it really shows the scary life cycle of propaganda and how it can kill a family home. It really is.
It really sounds more important than ever right now, not just for Iran, but around the world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
So.
this sounds great. Yeah, I'm just looking quickly at the Wikipedia and listening to you, and this sounds like something I really have to see also. Do you know, is it streaming yet, or is it wide release, or do you know what?
I mean, I think it's streaming, but we got streamer, so I'm not sure.
It looks like it's still during its release cycle. I don't know. Neon has North American distribution rights, but I don't know if it's out yet in the US. But this is definitely one to watch. Definitely, definitely.
Yep.
Okay. My number six, again, it's not quite as powerful and meaningful as yours. I have You Are the Universe, which we watched both. You saw it at Fantastic Fest. I saw it as a screener. I got to interview the director, Pablo Ostrakov, and I really love this movie. And I think it was, I don't know. I don't think it's like, like a groundbreaking film, but it's a very small, short, intimate film. It's very tight, and it's so brilliantly made because it's just one actor just giving an incredible performance. Literally one guy, just that's it, one guy. And he has like a robot voice, and he's just alone going crazy in the spaceship. And he's going through all these different emotions. It's all these different ideas about like the end of humanity and what it's like to be the last man in the universe.
It's Castaway in space, pretty much, like Castaway in space. And there may or may not be a Wilson in there. That's all I'll
There is,
say.
yeah. And I just thought it was really well made, especially considering that it's from Ukraine. A lot of it was made like during the war going on. I think it's a miracle they got this done. And all the ideas that it has and about what it has to be like the consequences of human destruction. Because, spoiler alert, the Earth blows up at the beginning of the movie, pretty much because of global warfare. The whole thing just like explodes itself. And this one guy's like lost in space all by himself. And I just think it's really funny. It's really romantic. And it's really philosophical. And it just checks a lot of boxes for me. So I absolutely love this movie. I genuinely, genuinely love this movie.
Awesome.
I don't think it's for everyone. I don't think everyone will like put it in
No.
their top 10, but it's my top 10.
It is your list, and there's nothing, like, no one
Yeah.
can take that away. No one can take that away.
What do you have at five? Now
Mine
we're in the top five.
is number five, my man, is, you ready for it? Drum roll, this is where things start to get serious. Doom Part Two.
Oh, I have this higher. Okay. Go on, go
Doom
on.
Part Two. That's how rough my top five is. So, like, it was a battle. It was a like same. It was a Saving Private Ryan battle of trying to figure out where everything was gonna go. Doom Part Two is a freaking massive. It's incredible. It is so good. It is one of the most amazingly shot films that I've seen all year. There's a sequence in Doom Part Two where they're running underneath a like a ship or something. I can't
A
remember what
thing.
it is.
Yeah.
But there's like a chopper flying and they're gunning them down. And like, I remember writing in the review for it, it looks like you're looking down at Arrakis. It looks like you were there, physically present at all times at Arrakis. I remember being on the pod with Ava and Uday talking about this, and I remember telling them I watched 3 hours of Avatar: The Way of Water, and even though that's an amazing film, it's an amazing looking film, seems real. None of it seems real. I feel like I'm there at Arrakis,
Yeah, really,
and
really.
it's so the tangibility of everything
Amazing.
in this movie is a masterclass in science fiction storytelling, from like character design to the production design to the cinematography, the look, and I think I compared it and called it the best sci-fi fantasy sequel since The Two Towers. That's what I
What?
said.
Since what?
Since The Two Towers, I think this is the best sci-fi fantasy sequel since The 2 Hours. And
I would need to research that a bit, because I'm sure there's been some good ones, but to be honest,
I cannot recall a time that I walked into a theater after the first film and felt the movie level up
like this.
so hard the way this one did since The 2 Towers. And I was there at The 2 Towers. I was there. I saw the first one, I saw the second one. I feel like this is The 2 Towers of Dune, and it just brings everything up. I don't know how they're going to do number three. I know they're going to do it. I just don't know how it's going to live up to any of it. But this is a
I'll talk about Dune Part 2 a little bit more when we get to it for mine. But I just want to say, I think it's a rare joy when you have a sequel that's so much better than even the first movie. Like, you have a good first movie and a great sequel. Like, there's rare examples you can think of. I love to mention The Bride of Frankenstein, 1935. You can think of Alien, Aliens, maybe. You can think of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. You can think of Spider-Man
Yeah.
2. You can think of Fellowship, Two Towers. There's examples. But every time it happens, it's so joyful that you love the first one, and now you're rewarded with an even better sequel that goes even
Yes.
further with the lore. It has what you like about the first one and goes deeper with it. And that's why I love Empire Strikes Back. I love Bride of Frankenstein. Those kind of movies that you're already in the door. Now here's a real meal. Oh, great, 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 great. Yeah. But I'll talk about Dune a little more later.
What's your number five?
I have The Count of Monte Cristo. Did you ever see it?
I didn't. I this
Brother, you gotta
was
watch
this was all this was on my to-do list that I just
Yeah.
didn't get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this one. It's a classic story. I did a nice little review on it. It's a classic story that you probably everybody knows. It's like Andor, it's like Batman, it's like stuff like that. But this movie especially is really, really well made. It's a long movie. It's all in French, but it's really well made and it's well acted. It has a great score. I can even hear the score now, and it's been like 4 months or
Oh,
something.
man.
It's so powerful, and the costumes are great. The acting, the I'm just repeating my review now, but it's great. It's such a good movie. It's so well made. There's just nothing more to say about it. It's just an essential classic, and this is like a classic created at the highest level. And I can't wait to see what these guys do next. They already did Three Musketeers before, and I don't know what's next for them, but they're
Yeah,
fantastic movies.
this is one of those that I was dying to watch before we could get to this, but man, it's like I already watched Seed of a Sacred Fig, which was like 2 hours and 47 minutes, and then I was like, man, I'm not gonna add another 3 hour film to this like catalog,
Yeah,
so
I do think they could have maybe cut it in half, because it's long. It's long. So if
yeah.
you watch it, maybe you give yourself a little break in the middle if you want.
And The Count of Monte Cristo is like one of my favorite stories of all time. So I genuinely earnestly wanted to like watch this so bad. I just didn't have time.
And what's really cool, if you go to our review of it, if you look in the comments section, everyone is fighting in the comments about what their favorite version of Monte Cristo is, because there's been so many versions and there's so many fans of each version. So go check out those comments and find some recommendations, because everyone's like, I like this one, I like this one, I like this one. That guy one stinks. This one's better. It's great and lively. Good discussions.
Yeah, we're just not gonna bring up Jim Caviezel, that's all. Anyway, moving on.
In my review, I bring up that one a bunch, because I was directly comparing them.
All
Okay, number four.
right, this is gonna be a conflicting one based on a conversation we had in Discord.
Oh dear. Wait. No, it's not Joker 2. What is it?
Nope.
Oh, Anora?
My number four is Nora.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on, say it.
And you can't take it away from me because I love this film.
Yeah, it's fine.
Allow me to explain before you try to tear it down.
I'm not. I don't hate it.
I love Anora because it is, I think it's estimate to what I believe is important about the for-profit experience. I feel like it is a good message to send to women that they have more value than this. They have more value than this. And the movie itself is not really just about that. But what I like about the structure, which you didn't like, and I understand everybody has their own things, but I love how it goes from insane party movie at the start, and you think it's going to be like a Richard Gere energized, like romance party film. And then it goes into full wacky hijinks where you get three people who are completely incompetent and are having to solve a problem that they can't solve.
That middle part of the movie is crazy. I was like,
love it.
what are we doing here?
I love the middle part because it's like it turns into like a
Three
slapstick
Stooges.
comedy. Because you send the three most incompetent people.
They're funny. At least they're funny.
They're funny. They can't solve the problem. And there's one part, it's a little bit of a spoiler where and this is the brilliant part of the film where they think they got it solved. They think it's solved, they think it's gonna like work out, and then they find out they bring this guy to court and they get all the way to like this courtroom, but they got married in Vegas. It's I love it. I love it.
The court scene's
I
great. The
love it.
court scene's really funny.
It's so funny, man.
I would also love to see like an extended cut with all the different outtakes and all the different gags because that sequence is so funny.
It's so funny, and then it gets to this third act, which I know that you kind of had a little bit of a mixed problem with. But that I just absolutely adored where it all comes together, where you find out the true nature of this kid, and you find out the true nature of his family. And you find out the true nature of what this whole thing has brought.
It is a good finale. My issue is just that I already saw where it was going with his family, and so for me, like the whole middle act was goofy hijinks that they're funny, but plot
I
wise, I
loved
think
it. I loved it.
I know, but like I was telling you, like in my head, like I would have cut out the middle part, moved the third act to the middle act, and then I want to see what happens after. I want to see what happens after she goes home, and now she has to like reset or figure out her next steps in life. I wanted to see a little more of that, but that's a different
This
movie. That's a different movie.
this is an entire podcast that would have been great, but it will never happen. But
Don't worry, it's okay.
that's my number four.
And
What's your
a lot of people have been very positive on Anora. Some people have been a little more negative like me, but I don't hate it. I just don't think it's I think I would, it's more of a three than a five. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay.
What's your number four?
This might also surprise you. I have Red Rooms because I really enjoyed watching that.
Another honorable mention I was going to mention. Yeah, Red Rooms is great. Red Rooms is great.
I really love that. It's a nice like I don't know like Mr. Robot style thriller about this murderer and they're trying to figure out if he did it or not. And then there's this hacker girl who has like she's figured it out and she's trying to get the proof that he did it. And I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it properly. But there's so much ambiguity in the movie because they just throw you into the action. You don't even understand everything about your main character until the movie ends, and then you start to understand more about her. And even after the movie ends, like we had a whole discussion about who she is, where she comes from, why she cares so much. And I like that it leaves it so open-ended. You get a great movie, a great experience, and you still have questions, good questions afterwards. It's so interesting and compelling and thrilling, and you see so many different sides of this main character also without ever going like deep into like her origin story. And I just thought also it's very well made, well shot, well acted, and well written. So I just thought it was a really, really
Yeah,
great movie.
it's a great film, and honestly, I'm surprised it's not getting more foreign recognition
Me
than it
too.
did. And it is, I think some of the best performances. It's very strong on a minimal, but on a minimal scale, because it's not in your face. There's not a lot involved. There's not all these sets. It does a lot with the very little that it has.
And
And I'm still, I still see a lot of critics talk about it even right now.
Yeah, and I'm looking at my list, and I think that's kind of what I was thinking. Like at number seven, I have The Substance, which is a very big and in your face. At number six, I have You Are the Universe, which is much smaller. Number five, I have
Yeah.
The Count of Monte Cristo, also very big. The number four, I have Red Rooms, which is much smaller. So
Which
I,
is much smaller, yeah.
and for me, I think I put those smaller ones a little bit higher because I like the intimacy of those, and I like when it's like well crafted, small and intricate. Like the big movies are great too, but I kind of like when they're very minimal. And what can you do with just a few little things? You know what I mean?
Honestly, I think between your ones and mine, these are long. That's a great list. Like, I think
It, yeah.
anybody could get a full spectrum of ideas and things to
Yeah.
watch if they were going through this list.
Yeah. And I like also that they kind of reflect our personalities and our interests are also.
Yeah.
Number three, what do you have? Top
Okay, my
three.
number three is, yeah, are you ready? The Brittlest.
I'm jealous. I haven't seen it yet. Go on, go on, go on. But don't spoil.
No, I won't. I won't. Well, to be clear, this is a very difficult movie to spoiler.
Okay.
People are spoiled because it's almost four flipping hours. So
Sorry,
don't feel like
say
it.
that again.
It's almost four flipping hours long. It is a long movie, okay? So I went to see this movie on a Saturday, and it was at 1 o'clock. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm getting home early. Like, I didn't look up the runtime, didn't look up anything. I didn't really think about why they scheduled it at 1 o'clock. I was like, okay, I'll just go out there and like, I'm enjoying the film,
I remember
enjoying
this day.
it.
I remember your messages like, why is it at 1 o'clock?
Yeah, and then it was like 2 hours into it, intermission. I was like, wait, what? I had no idea that it was going to be that long.
I've heard that it has an intermission, but nobody told me it's 4 hours.
Nobody told me that they had an intermission. But I mean, it was fine. I was like, I got the day, whatever. Even so, then, even with the intermission, which thankfully that's merciful, they give an intermission, like it's very merciful. This is a great movie.
Really? Yeah.
Great performances. The first 10 minutes above the credits and like everything say filmed in Vista Vision.
I've heard that.
And I was like, man, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard about that. I haven't heard that name in a while. I was in there going, man, this movie looks really good. Then this feels like it is from a bygone era. That it feels like a movie that's not made in 2024. It feels like a movie from like the Godfather era. Like that it was ripped from that time
Great.
and put out now. It
Great.
looks that great, the way the overall aesthetic. I was in there like I walked out of the theater and I asked the person, the rep that held the screening, and I was like, was that digital? Because I swear on my life, I saw a cigarette burn, like in
Great.
the presentation. And I was at an AMC. Like, they don't have film projectors at AMC.
Do you think those were added artificially?
No, this
Okay.
isn't actually Vista Vision shot down. Like, it is a
But
film
they
shot.
actually put cigarette burns on it on purpose.
I don't know. I think it's authentic shot. I think what they showed us in our theater was an actual film presentation of that movie.
Wow.
I think we actually had it. The rep didn't act like she had any idea what was going on.
Yeah, of course.
But I swear to you, what they showed us was a film projected
Beautiful.
version of The Brutalist at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it is, dude, it is a beautiful looking film. There are shots in like the way it looks, the way it's presented, the colors, the color schemes, the acting is strong. And it's about a Jewish immigrant who comes into the United States during the Holocaust. That is a brilliant architect. That kind of like now we deal with a lot of people being very mean to immigrants for no freaking reason, and if they're not mean to them, then they exploit them. And this is a very strong representation of that story going over 4 hours. If you don't accept them, then you're exploiting them, and that is what The Brutalist is. It's an incredible film. It's in my top three. What is your third?
I can't wait to watch that. I'm a little scared now by the 4 hours, but I'm excited to watch
Dude, you'll be
it.
fine. You'll be okay. I promise you, you'll be fine. Yeah.
I
If
hope
you
so.
can handle 3 hours of Monte Cristo, you'll be fine.
Maybe you're right. Number three, I have Tatami, which I also did a little review thing for. This is, if I recall, I think it's Persian Israeli produced. But it's really about Persians, and it's about a judoka, a judo girl. She's going through a tournament, and she's supposed to compete. If she gets to the final round, she'll be competing against an Israeli. And because of tensions between the countries, the Iranian government is telling her that she has to drop out, that she can't compete against the Israeli girl, because if she competes against the Israeli girl and loses, they'll have big problems. So the government is just telling her, just quit, just quit, just quit. Don't even try it. Don't go to the last round. And I don't know, like, if I tell you this story, it doesn't sound like something you're gonna run out to see. But the movie just starts, and it goes full speed ahead. It's really tight, really small. It's all in black and white. And it pulls you in. The performances are so great. The adrenaline is so good. The tension is so good. It's a sports drama. It's a political drama. And there's so much humanity and the acting and in the story and the characters. And at the moment it finished, I wanted to. There was a showing, and I wanted to just run out to the next room and watch it all over again. I absolutely love this movie. I had no idea what it was going to be going in. Like, I knew nothing about it. Like you were saying about Seed of a Sacred Fig. I just like, oh, sit down, watch something new. Wow, it blew me away. I just wanted to watch it again, like
See,
right away.
I thought about this movie, and I was, even today I got in and trying to watch it, but I was like, where's it streaming? Is it like, is it even out?
It's not out in the US. I don't think it's out yet. Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, why did we not get any screeners for this? Because, the one I was kicking myself when it came to for awards, it was like, I feel like I watched more foreign films than this year. And I guess I had it. So that was the one thing I was trying to catch up on, like, when awards came. But this is one of them that was not offered, and I don't understand why.
I think it's one of those smaller movies that I think it's been passed around the festival circuit, and it just hasn't gotten a lot of attention yet. But I know it is coming to the US
It sounds
eventually.
great.
XYZ Films is going to distribute it in the US at some point.
XYZ is actually a pretty strong independent label,
Okay.
like
I'm
around
surprised
here.
I haven't
So
really heard of them, but
yeah,
maybe.
they're around. They do some good stuff.
Okay. So I think it's a great, again, like we've been saying, this is my personal opinion. I don't know if it'll be everyone's, like, what is it, number three of the of but I think it's just I just enjoyed it so much. Like, pure entertainment, political thriller, sports drama, and the moment it finished, I just wanted to turn it back on and
It
watch it
is
again.
your list, so it doesn't
Yeah.
matter.
Yeah,
So.
I was shocked how much I enjoyed it, really. And it has so much on its mind, and it executes it so well. Great, great movie. And like You Are the Universe, it also ties into, like, the kind of the political themes that they're worried about, but in kind of a fictionalized version. Yeah. Okay, number two.
Well, Ben, this movie really doesn't need much of an introduction from me because I'm the champion of it probably all year. The Remarkable Life of Evelyn, my dude.
I expected it at one.
Yeah, so number one, the man, but that doesn't make it any less of a
Yeah,
film.
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just how
It
tight it is. Yeah.
is. It was a tight fight. The Remarkable Life of Evelyn has been just connected to me this whole year. I watched it at Sundance. It's one of those movies that I just could never let go from us, period. It
Yeah.
just stayed there, it harkened
Yeah.
there, it just never went away.
Yeah.
I feel deeply connected to this film. Not even because of my disability, I just think it's a great, great documentary on its own. Even if, Dan Merle, that YouTuber, even also said this was one of his favorites. And
I'm glad he reviewed it. Wow, that's great.
yeah, he said it's one of his favorites. And I think that just kind of speaks to the documentary because I don't think you have to have a physical condition to recognize the power of it, just how powerful it is and how amazing that story is. I
Really.
mean, like the father says in the documentary that, and I think it's a very funny line, that he just now realized that his son was a womanizer and that it kind of made him proud. And I think that's just a very funny line. And it's such a beautiful documentary, man. I could talk about it all day and I won't. But we have a whole podcast on
Yeah.
this.
And it's still not enough. We still haven't said, like, it's a movie that I think anyone, like, you watch it, you feel it in your soul. And I think you especially, I think just your personality, I think you, it is your movie, you know? It's
Yeah,
like made for you, you know? It's
it's
just,
made for
it's
me.
so fantastic. Yeah.
But we have a podcast for you. If you want to know all about it, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Like, go there, go watch it, do it, and that won't tell you everything. I don't want to waste any more time much energy.
I don't think talking about this movie would ever be a waste of time. It's so important. And again, it's hard to recommend, but I just think
I
we have to be
know.
louder, louder, and louder about it.
I disagree. I don't think it's hard to recommend. I don't agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy. I think it's got everything you ever want. Love, romance, fantasy,
Yeah.
drama. It's got everything in a documentary. What's your number two?
My number two, again, very, very, very me. I have The Taste of Things, which I think came out in the US earlier this year. It's a nice French movie about food and romance.
This would have been in my probably last live stream. So that's it's a great film, and it doesn't really hurt to bring it up again. I jokingly called it laugh. Look, I made a friend laugh, and he goes, "I can't believe you just called it that." So it's the Michael Bay of food movies, where you're just like long, it's in a long, elaborate explosions. It is long, elaborate food
Oh, the opening of
shots
this movie
of,
is so gorgeous. Yeah.
yeah, it makes food look amazing. But it also tells a story through
Such a
food.
great story. Yeah.
Yeah, and
So,
there's a very heartfelt romance in it.
yeah, this movie, I think I saw it twice. I'm trying to remember. I think I saw it in theaters, and then I saw it online later. And man, it's mesmerizing. It's this, yeah, I definitely saw it twice. It's this romance, and like you see like the beginning of the romance, then you see them fall in love with each other, and then you see the ends, and kind of like We Live in Time, but with food. And that's why it's ranked so high on my list, because I love good romances, and it's so beautifully shot, and you have these beautiful food, and it's such a great story. There's humor, and it's elegant and exquisite, and there's so much about it. And I remember there's this little girl in it, and she has the most amazing huge eyes, and it just captivates you. What a great movie.
And yeah, it's great. It's a great film. Great
Yeah.
film.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All around wonderful, beautiful, and it makes me like honestly talking about it makes me hungry.
Yeah.
Just
Yeah. I because I love food and I love romances and I love great movies, and it's like all three together. It's just very me. Yeah.
and low key, I can't remember her name, but I think she might be one of my all-time favorite actresses. I love that actress so much and adore her. Just absolutely adore her.
Juliette Binoche.
Yes, I adore that actor so much, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. It's a great, great movie. Yeah. So I'm sorry if you saw this last year, but according to whatever metric I'm using, I count it for 2024, and
Well,
I
no,
saw it.
it doesn't matter. I'm just letting you know what, like, it's not
I
because I
saw it
don't
in
hate it.
theaters this year, so
Yeah.
to me, it counts.
Yeah, it
All right.
counts. It's
All right. Let's
fine.
get to the good stuff. Number one.
All right, man. Moment of truth. And it's fresh. I've only seen it about a month ago. I've heard about it all year. I did not have access to it for a long time. I had a friend of mine tell me all the way back in May that I needed to watch this film. He goes, dude, it's literally one of those, like, he goes, it's a group, like, possibly the greatest film that came out this year. And I was like, wow. And that movie is insane.
Ah, okay. I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. Okay, so Sing Sing. Sing Sing is about a group of prisoners who, whenever they're not going through their daily trauma, traumatic life, they are performing theater. And there is two central actors in it. There's Colman Domingo. I can't remember the name of the character he plays.
John Divine G. Whitfield.
Divine G, and then there's another guy played by
Clarence Divine Eye Macklin. So you have Divine G and Divine Eye.
Divine Eye. And dude, this might be two of the best performances that I've seen from
I know nothing about this movie.
all year, man. So there's two things going on. So Clarence is a typical guy who's going through the prison, trying to be as rough around the edges as possible as a way to survive. And then you got Colman Domingo's character, who's the man who's running this theater program, who's also a prisoner, who's trying to teach people how to escape their life when they can, and to push away that ugliness for a brief moment, to come into the theater and to be themselves. Then it is one of the most powerful, emotional films that I've seen this year, where I was enthralled from beginning to end. Where I felt just such a deep connection to all these characters, to what they were going through, and the emotional journey. And what I love about this movie is that it doesn't do what you expect a Oscar-winning film to do. Say, like, where you think it's going to, like, just be depressing for the sake of being depressing, but there is something uplifting about it. That, like, where you do feel good when it's over. Like,
Oh, wow, that's great.
yeah, there is a feel-good element about it. And even though it does give you the It's a Wonderful Life,
Sure.
dark, depressing moment in the middle, but it raises you all the way back up.
Wow. So
And
it has
I,
a full spectrum of emotions.
a full spectrum of emotions.
Great.
And I genuinely love Sing Sing. I think it is such a lovely film. And I think, right now, for my money, it is a battle between Adrien Brody and the Brutalist and Colman Domingo and Sing Sing. And if I were to give it to anybody right now, I would give it to Colman Domingo. I think he's amazing,
Wow.
powerful. I love this movie so much.
I've
Sing
heard
Sing is my number
fantastic.
one.
Yeah, I've heard only fantastic things about this. I just can't wait for it to come out here because I haven't seen it and I would love to.
It is great, dude.
And it's short, 105 minutes. Nice, tight, good movie. Great.
Nice, tight, and beautifully made.
God, I'd love to see this. Wow. Great list,
Yeah.
John. Great list. My number one, no surprise, it was Dune Part 2. I'll say, I actually was a surprise because if you talked to me in like February last year, I would tell you, who gives a flip about Dune? I did not care about Dune. I didn't even like the first one. I never grew up with Dune. I love Star Wars. I love science fiction. But what the, what, who? I don't get Dune. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like some sand and there's like a worm and they're like desert people. Whatever. Why are there so many weird cultures? What's going on here? I didn't.
The spice, man. The spice got you.
I don't get it. I'm not a Dooney. I'm not a Dooney. And then I watched Dune 2 and I'm like, I get it. Dune 2 changed like my brain chemistry. And I was like, I get it. I get it. I get it. Because there's romance and you think Paul's trajectory is going one way and then whoo, he starts going another way. Now white boy is crazy. And the way he like betrays Zendaya and he goes with Florence Pugh and the whole like fate of the universe is like in his hands and all the people like everything depends on this one guy and he's making the wrong choices. And I just, it's so well made, like you said, like it feels so real and tactile, even
That
though
you're
you
there.
know it.
Feels
Yeah,
like you're
yeah.
there.
You
Yeah.
know it. You know it's science fiction. You know it's 2024. We've seen all those Marvel movies and all the CGI. We've seen the volume. This doesn't feel like any of that. This feels like you're just in a desert with some spaceships, like real
It
spaceships.
feels tangible. And so again, I walked out of the theater and you're gonna make fun of me. Guess he was there. Dan Merle.
No way. What?
He was there.
I didn't even know he's in your area.
He's not. So we walked out of the theater, and like that was just one of the first people I could talk to when I came out. It was a private screening. No one was allowed, but critics, and we both came out going, "How did he do that? Like, how?
Yeah,
Like,
really.
how did he do that?" And we just kind of talked for a little while, and I remember that being the conversation. It was like, "How did they pull that off? How did they do that? How did they get that to work?
Yeah.
Because there are sequences in this film that don't make sense.
Yeah.
There's just like, how did they make it feel as if something was right up in there?
Yeah. And for me, like I was saying, I think the greatest magic trick is I profoundly, profoundly do not care about Dune. I do not care about Dune. And then I watched this movie and now I care about Dune. And like I could not have cared less after that first movie. I don't think I even watched it in a theater because it was on HBO Max and I didn't have time and it was COVID and then I watched this one and I just
It's
it's
great.
amazing. It's
Great,
amazing.
yeah.
And there's like Hans Zimmer's score and I think it's Greg Frazier on cinematography. It's like everyone at the top of their game and whoa. And you know what's an
It's
absolute crime? You know what's an absolute crime?
my
The news came out just like yesterday. The Batman 2 is pushed to 2027 or something. And Greg Frazier, if I recall correctly, he chose Batman over Dune 3. If that Batman movie's never coming out, now Dune Messiah has lost Greg Frazier. That's a loss. That's a loss.
Well, that minor walk opened up his schedule to the new.
Hopefully, because come back to Dune. Wow.
Yeah,
Wow. I mean,
because, but I also, then, I genuinely and authentically, I don't know how they can top this movie. I just don't.
I'm there for it. Like, you know, I don't think Return of the Jedi tops Empire Strikes Back, but I love that trilogy, you
and
know?
I think Return of the King is a pretty, like solid effort in wrapping everything up.
Sure.
Even though it's way too long, way too long.
Yeah.
But I've heard whispers that like a lot of the choices in Dune 1 and 2, kind of make Dune Messiah, and that makes sense.
We'll see what happens because
We'll
I
see what
really trust him.
happens.
I really trust Denny. He did a great interview recently on the Town Podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts.
The
But they talk about
town.
film. Yeah, they talk about film business. He did an interview there where he was actually talking about his choices, the personal choices he made. Because when he's adapting, he can't adapt everything faithfully. He can't adapt everything 100%. So he cuts things or he changes things. And he said because of the changes he made, he feels that this movie reflects him even more maybe than it reflects Frank Herbert. Like this is Denis Villeneuve's Dune. Like it's his personal take on Dune. Maybe it's not your Dune, maybe it's not my Dune, but this is his personal
But
stamp.
it's his version of
Yeah.
Dune,
And
yeah.
I think that might be part of why it just works so well. Why everything feels cohesive and it clicks and it feels like it has an authentic voice and vision. Because it's not just adapting Frank Herbert's, but he is saying something, using that work, but it's being channeled through him. You know what I
I
mean?
will say, I've tried reading the book, and I can tell you this: he does remove a lot of the added, like, just way too much baggage in Dune. Like, you're just like, it's like somebody is screaming exposition at you while you're trying to watch the movie. You know, it's just it's a lot of information to take in. You know, and he figured out a way to like make it digestible, to make it smaller and more intimate, and not have all these like scientific details thrown at you. He just gives you the world, and God, it is gorgeous, man. And yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about on the way out. It just does not make sense, the world that he makes, and it makes me mad at Avatar. It makes me mad at Avatar. Avatar is arguably one of the most expensive films ever made. Takes what years to create. Avatar: The Way of Water took 10 years to make the sequel.
What James Cameron did on Avatar is pretty incredible. Avatar 2 looks amazing, but you're exactly right that you know what you're watching is artificial.
It's computer effects. You're
Yeah.
looking at a computer effects.
And
I know it's not real.
I will I do like Avatar 2, especially the visuals and the experience, but it does feel like you're watching like the world's most amazing like screensaver, you know?
Yes.
And
Yes.
I say that as an Avatar 2 general defender because it just is such an amazing experience.
I'm
But
a defender also, but
yeah,
still,
but
for the fact that Cameron had to work that hard
yeah.
for it to still look artificial, and this guy just talking like it took 2 years. Two
Yeah.
years to make Dune 2. 2 years, and it looks that good? Make
Yeah. Yeah.
it make sense.
Yeah. And I
Make it
just
make sense.
like Dune 2, it just blows you away because we have so many artificial movies and we've just gotten used to that. We've just normalized
Yeah.
that. And you watch Dune 2 and it takes you back to a time when movies did not look artificial, right?
No.
When things could just be a good, just a well, like it just transports you. And that for
Yes.
I apologize for mentioning so much, but that's why I love the original Star Wars trilogy. That for me, the practical effects, some people say it looks cheesy, but for me, it feels tactile and real. It blows my mind when they have all those miniatures and you can tell that's a real thing. When there's like
Yes.
these real creatures and monsters and like Yoda's a real puppet. And it's like the tactileness, that doesn't, at least for me, that doesn't age. You know, some of the laser effects might age, but the real tactile things, when it looks great, it
That
always looks great.
it
Yeah.
feels like it's there. It feels tangible. It feels real. It feels like you're like looking in the window, and like it looks like Denis just like went to Arrakis and started filming a movie. That's
Really,
what
it
it looks
does.
like. It
Yeah.
looks like that, and it's so aggravating. Like I said, because Avatar: The Way of Water for 10 years, 10 years, man, 10 years. I digress. Anyway.
I cannot believe myself that I love this Dune movie so much, but I cannot move it down my list. It just blows my mind that I did not care about Dune, and then I watched this one little movie, one movie changed me totally. Like I understand now. Crazy. Because that first Dune movie, I mean, it's not a bad movie, but I just didn't care about anything. It was beautiful to look at, but I just didn't care. And the second movie just blew me away.
I think that's kind of why I compared it to the Two Towers, because like for me, the Fellowship of the Ring, I didn't connect. I understood that everybody loved this stuff, and I was like, yeah, well, hobbits and like swords and weird monsters, well, whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, and then like, somebody was like, "Hey, you want to go up to Two Towers?" Like, I'm young. I'm like, "Sure." And then I got it. I'm like, "Oh, I get it now. I understand." this is not just fantasy and wizards and like things that I'm not really into yet. This is an epic adventure with like spectacle and scale, and you feel like you're transported into the Battle of Helm's Deep and everything. Like, that's the way I felt about Dune Part 2. Where it was like, the first one's kind of boring. Second one, no, I get it. I get it now. Okay, I'm with you, Denny. I'm with you.
And I we should probably wrap this up, but I just appreciate the audacity, because to release this as two parts, two separate movies, knowing that that first movie is going to be boring, and they still said, trust us, we're going to make this two movies, and it's really so worth it. Because if they tried to cram everything in one movie, it would have been horse, right? It would have been not good. But the fact that they gave them the space, they gave them the time, and they trusted the audience, and they said, trust us, we're going to do two movies, the first one will be boring, the second one will rock, watch it. And we did. It's amazing. Anyway, this was an absolute blast. This was so much fun. Thank you all for watching and coming with us. Please, if you like this discussion, like, subscribe, leave a comment, add to it. What were your favorites from 2024? Do you think John's crazy? Do you think I'm crazy? What films did we miss? Please scream at us in the comments. We're so excited to hear from you guys. I'm Vin. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Vin Writes Words.
I'm John, and you can find me at John Movie Watch on Twitter and Blue Sky. Please like us, subscribe. We need 1,000 subscribers. Come on, bring it. Give us some subscribers, okay?
Be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Blue Sky and on Twitter at MyCosmicCircus. Find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the ones you just watched. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the new year. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye.